Proverbs 22. Of course, we've been away for a week or 2 weeks because I was in Atlanta, and then because of the Brother Crumpton being here last week. And I want to pick up where we left off on lesson. We didn't actually get started on lesson 72 yet, so that's where I want to pick up. We did lesson 71, which we must trust God for the rearing of our children. And we talked about that, the physical discipline of kids, and try to say some things there that would be a help to you in the rearing of the children. Now, verse number 24 of chapter 22, book of Proverbs, chapter 22, verse 24. The Bible says, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul." So lesson 72, I've said it this way, living life wisely is to avoid friendships with angry people. Now, we're not learning Bible doctrine here as much as we are practical Bible living, okay? Bible doctrine is the teaching of the Scriptures, the doctrines and teachings of the Word of God. Wisdom is learning how to apply those truths to our lives. Living life wisely is to avoid friendships with angry people. Now, that's an interesting admonition. You stop and think about it. Why is that singled out? Because we've already studied from chapter 13 the danger of making foolish companions. Okay, the Bible talked about verse number 20. That you shouldn't be a companion of fools. A companion of fools shall be destroyed, the Bible said. We looked at that verse in its entirety a few, weeks ago. But here the wise man singles out friendships with people who are given to uncontrolled passion, specifically anger. Okay, so God is dealing with something specific here, not just foolish companions, but people specifically who are given to uncontrolled passion that manifests or shows itself in uncontrolled anger. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 20, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." So if I'm interested in righteousness, I have to learn to control my temper. I have to learn to control my anger. Now, probably men are more given to this uncontrolled passion than women are, okay? But women can lose their temper too. We can all be given to a fit of anger, you know. And by the way, that doesn't take very long to begin. That starts from childhood. That starts, you know, I learned that with my grandchild this week, amen. We've had the granddaughter since Tuesday afternoon. It's been a blessing most of the time, amen. No, it's been great. We've loved it. But, you know, it was time for her to go to sleep Thursday night. And she wouldn't go to sleep. And I knew she was tired. I knew she just sat still, that she'd go to sleep. So I was in the rocking chair. It was 10:30 at night. Time for her to go to bed. Everybody else was headed that way or already there. And I needed to go. I've been up since 4 o'clock. I hadn't stopped. It was one of those days. Just, okay. And so I just put her like this. And I put one arm under this arm. And I sang to her and rocked. And, oh, she didn't appreciate that singing at all. She screamed. And I mean, she pitched a fit. And she looked up at me. And I just said, "It'll be all right. It'll be all right." And I just kept rocking. And I mean, she was drenched. It went on about 10 or 15 minutes. Luke came down to take a long look. He doesn't remember those days because he was young when his sister was a baby. And so, you know, he hadn't been through that. So, but I mean, it was gone, you know. And then I got to feeling bad. And I thought, oh, no, tomorrow morning she's going to hate me. And my wife said, "You're silly." And so I took upstairs and laid her down. Not a peep, man. All night long she slept. She had a fit. I told her mom and dad about it when they got back. I said, "Your daughter pitched a fit." And so they all do that. Uncontrolled anger. Now, the wrath of God, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. If I'm interested in living righteous before God, I'm going to have to get this thing under control. And God says, don't make friends with angry people. And then he goes a step further and he says, with furious people, don't even get around them. Don't make friendships with angry people. People are given to fits of anger, but don't get around furious people at all. Now, the word friendship here is quite interesting. It means to pasture or to graze, like a pasture, not a pastor, a pasture, like sheep, cows, cattle, okay? It means to pasture or to graze. In other words, there are people we graze with. There are people we have a more intimate relationship with than others. We might go out to eat. We might have a meal. We might go to their house for a meal. They might come to our house for a meal. We graze with them. We pasture with them. Now, we dare not pasture with a person who is given to a spirit of anger. You know, it's interesting that many of us, rightly so, separate from people who are bogged down with external sins. Okay? We don't want to run with people that are alcoholics. We don't even run with people that drink. You know, we're not going to make friendships with people that drink alcohol. All right? We're not going to, I mean intimate relationships. Okay? I'm a friend to my neighbor. But that friendship goes so far, you know, when it comes time that he wants to pass out a beer to everybody, I'm gone. Okay? I'm not around. So, you know, we don't want a friendship, pasture, or graze with people who alcohol or drugs or, you know, all the external stuff, you know, the whatever it is. Okay? But some... The truth of the matter is, the sins of the Spirit are just as contagious, if not more contagious, than the sins of the flesh. And we're given an admonition in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 to separate from both. We're supposed to separate from people who have given to sins of the flesh and sins of the Spirit. And the truth of the matter is, a spirit, the spirit of a person, is very contagious. Do you remember Elisha and Elijah? And before Elijah went to heaven, Elijah looked at Elisha and said, "What do you want?" Elisha said, "I want a double portion of your spirit, thy spirit, little s, not the Holy Spirit. I want a double portion, Elijah, of your spirit, that spirit of aggressiveness, that spirit of passion for God, that spirit of standing for truth." Elisha wanted a double portion of that. There was something about Elijah's spirit that captivated Elisha, you know, and enamored him. And he said, "Boy, I would like a double portion of your spirit." The Bible tells us in the New Testament that Timothy caught Paul's spirit. He caught Paul's spirit. Let me show you this verse. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 28. 2 Corinthians, go to the New Testament. We'll get back to Proverbs. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 28. Paul here is talking about, he actually begins in verse number 23 talking about the physical things that were less than appealing, the physical part of his ministry. I mean, it's he got beat with rods, he got whipped by a whipped five times, 39 stripes each time. He was in a shipwreck. He got stoned. So he's talking about all the things. I don't mean drugs. I mean, he got hit with rocks, okay? Okay. You got to be careful in this day and age, I guess, you know. Yeah. Pastor said Paul got stoned. Yeah, amen. So he got stoned to death, okay? Almost near death. We talked about that some Sundays ago. But anyway, all the physical things that came on him, okay? Then look at verse number 28. Beside those things that are without, beside the things that are physical, beside the things that came to me, to my body. Look at this. That which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul said, the heaviest thing I carry is not having to get stoned, having to get whipped with rods, having to suffer hunger or shipwreck. Those things are bad enough, but that's not the heaviest thing I carry. The heaviest thing I carry is the care of all the churches. You see, Paul carried the churches on his heart. Okay? Any good pastor does. He carries a church on his heart. It's difficult, if nigh unto impossible, for a pastor who's a decent pastor to ever take the church off of his shoulders and set it aside. It's just nigh impossible to do that. I mean, it's just nigh impossible. You carry it all the time. That's what Paul said. Look at the words here. That which cometh upon me daily. Not once a week on Sunday. Okay? Daily. Every day. Paul said, I carry the weight of the churches. I'm concerned and burdened for the churches. Now, look at Philippians chapter 2. Go over a few pages to your right. Philippians chapter 2. And look what Paul said, had to say about the man named Timothy. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. Are you there? Philippians 2, 19. Okay, just a few pages to your right from Corinthians there. He said this in verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus, or Timothy, shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. He said, I'm anxious to know how you're doing. So I'm sending Timothy to you. Look at verse 20. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Paul said, there's no other person I could send to you outside of Timothy. He's picked up my burden. You know, Paul said, he said, the thing that comes upon me daily is the care of all the churches. And he said, I really want to know how you're doing. So I'm not sending a man who's just doing a job. I'm sending a man who has picked up my spirit. He knows my heart. He carries my burden. There's no other person I can send to you outside of Timothy who naturally, he's learned to care for churches. Okay, you know what Timothy did? He caught Paul's spirit. He caught Paul's spirit. He just didn't catch Paul's methodology. He caught Paul's spirit. He caught his heart. Okay? It's a big difference. You can catch a man's methods. You can catch a man's program. But it's something altogether different to catch a man's heart, to catch a man's spirit. Elisha caught Elijah's. Timothy caught Paul's. And the truth of the matter is, I remember this, hearing this before. Lee Robertson pastored the Highland Park Baptist Church for 42 and a half years in Chattanooga, Tennessee. 42.6 years. Okay? 42.5 years. 42 years, 6 months. He pastored that church down there. And I mean, if you know anything about Highland Park, it was a flagship church for years and years and years and years. So supported over 500 missionaries. Tennessee Temple University. I mean, incredible worldwide ministry. 42 and a half years. And when he turned it over, the thing just spiraled down. It is nothing. It is nothing today like it was back then. It is nothing. You would not attend church there if you lived in the Chattanooga area. You wouldn't go there. Now, can you imagine, I know some of you, new to Christianity or new to, this independent fund, well, who's Lee Robertson? Well, he was a patriarch. Okay, he was a patriarch. Can you imagine living in the town where he pastored, close to the church that he pastored for 42 and a half years, not going there? It's gone. It's all contemporary. Everything about it. Okay? Dr. Hiles, before he died, asked Lee Robertson, what happened, Doc? What happened? Because Lee Robertson is still living today. He's in his 90s. Okay? And Brother Hiles said, what happened, Brother Robertson? You know what Brother Robertson said? No man caught my spirit. Nobody ever caught my spirit. It's one thing to catch methods and programs and all that stuff. It's another thing to catch a man's heart, catch a man's spirit. I said all of that to say this. Spirits are contagious. Spirits are contagious. So we avoid the people who are alcoholics. We avoid the people who are gangbangers. We avoid the people who are compulsive gamblers. We don't want that to rub off on us. But then we're not careful about grazing with people who are given to fits of uncontrolled passion. Look what he says in Proverbs 22 again. He says, it'll rub off on you. That's exactly what he says. Proverbs 22 and verse number 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Okay? The sins of the spirit are more contagious than the sins of the flesh. So, and by the way, friend, I think sometimes what we see in a person's behavior is just the symptom. It's not the cause. I think that uncontrolled passion, uncontrolled anger, is a lot of times the cause of more sins that we see than we realize. Okay? Uncontrolled passion manifests itself in all kinds of things. All kinds of things. Not just anger. Pornography, compulsive spending. That's all passion that can't be corralled. That's all what that is. It's all passion that just can't be corralled. Now, the wise man said, we got to shy away from people who are given to uncontrolled fits of passion and anger. And if they are, the word furious is a man who's bottled up with poison. I mean, he's more than just angry. He's been angry for so long, he's bottled up with poison, with rage. Okay? It won't take you long to think a little bit, and you'll come across somebody in your mind that you know or work with that's that type of person. Now, the Bible admonition, if I'm going to live wisely, it's one thing to shake his hand, how you doing, good to see you, chat a little bit, hey, the Bears play tomorrow night, yes, so forth, so good, nice weather, yeah. But to pasture with him, to graze with him, okay, that's unwise. Now, when I was in Iowa, I was a youth director and every other director too, and I tried to help this boy who... It was horrible. His mother got expecting with him for basically a one-night drunken spree, okay? And it's the boy that I told you about one time that I took to see his dad before I left. I don't know if you remember that story or not. But poor boy. He lived. His grandmother lived down the road from us, and he was a part of the church, and he lived with his grandmother. And so I really tried to help the boy, and I mean, I spent hours with him. And he was told he was a mistake all his life. His mother told him, "You're a mistake," you know. And because of all that, I'm not trying to say he had an excuse, because he heard enough Bible preaching to get it right. But I'm saying he didn't have much help. Okay, by the time he gets to be a teenager, this kid's just bitter. He's more than bitter. He's furious. He's angry. I'm trying to help him and work with him. You know, one night, I'd been there just a year, maybe not quite a year. I mean, I started immediately trying to just do this boy, you know. I looked out. It was before we lived up by his grandmother. This was when we lived across from the church in this little bitty apartment, you know. And it was a summer night, Wednesday night after church. Summer night, I hear all this commotion and clamoring, and banging and everything. I look out the window, and parked in front of the church is his pickup truck. And he is standing in the street, running up and kicking the truck, kicking the tailgate. He'd back up and he'd run, he'd just jump up and kick it. Pretty soon the tailgate fell off in the street. I mean, I'm just watching this. This is incredible. So, you know, two or three days later, when I saw him again, I said, "Man, what were you doing?" I lost my temper. And this just kept going and kept going and kept going. His grandmother bought him a Camaro, you know, and gave him this Camaro, and the engine went bad, and he was a little bit mechanically inclined, so he found an engine. He's got it, the shade tree, you know. He's got to come along, you know, over the limb. Pulls his Camaro up underneath there. Picks the engine up out of the Camaro. And something slips and the engine, poof. He jacks the engine up, pushes the car forward a few inches, and purposely lets the engine drop. Jacks the engine up, pushes the car forward again, drops the engine. He smashes that Camaro from front to back. Smashes it. Can you imagine? Breaking every, you know. He pulls into the church in a station wagon. What time? There's no light. There's no lenses on any of the lights. I said, "What happened to your lights?" Busted them out. He kicked every light out of his car. I said, "Son, if you don't get a grip on this, it's not going to be your car. It's going to be your wife someday." And you know what? I basically washed my hands. I wasn't making any progress. I mean, I would take the boy with me. I pastured with him. I grazed with him. And I tell you what, it got to the place where I just said, "That's it. I can't help you." By the way, it didn't surprise me after I came here to find out that the boy was in jail. Married with three boys in jail for smacking his wife around. See? So, you know, there comes a point in time where even in my position to try to help somebody who's given to fits of uncontrolled anger and furiousness, after a while, I can't expose myself to that forever. Or it's going to rub off on me. See, none of us, a title in front of your name, Pastor Terry Angel, that don't change me. I am a man, flesh, you understand? So I can't violate these principles just because I got a title in front of my name. You know, Youth Director Minkowski, he can't violate Bible principles just because he's called Youth Director. None of us can, all right? And the Bible says we're not to graze or pasture with people who are given to uncontrolled fits of anger. And so be careful. You know, God singles this thing out. Okay? He does in the New Testament, he singles out the adultery matter. Okay? Here in the Old Testament, he singles out this anger matter. Do not graze or pasture with people who are given to uncontrolled fits of anger. It'll rub off on you. Spirits are contagious. What have I got here? 6 minutes? Let me get started into... I don't want to get started into this. What do you do? If I get done now, what are y'all going to do? Take a nap? I don't have time to finish this next point. Let me just introduce it to you. Look at verse 23, verse 17 and 18. This is number 73. This is 17 and 18 of the next chapter, chapter 23. "Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long, for surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off." Living life wisely is to avoid longing for the lifestyle of the unsaved. You see that phrase? "Let not thine heart envy sinners." Now you say, "Well, everybody's a sinner." This is talking about unsaved people. Unchurched people, unsaved people. Okay? The word envy is simply a strong word for jealousy. It's inflamed jealous. It means to be zealously jealous. Envy, okay? There is only one way possible to live like this verse tells us not to live. Only one way possible to do it. You'd have to spend your life looking horizontally all the time instead of vertically. And that's what happens to Christians. We get caught up looking this way on this plane too often, too long, instead of this way. And when we look this way too often and too long, it's going to get to us. I got proof for you in the Bible. It got to a person in the Old Testament because of what he saw and what he heard. This is an honest to God truth, God's truth here, and especially for the younger generation. It's getting our eyes on the lifestyle of the unsaved and seeing that to the point where we get zealously jealous of it. I want everything they have. I want them, you know, I want it all, okay? And boy, that could be incredibly dangerous. We'll talk about that next week. I don't have time to develop that this morning, okay? So we're done 5 minutes early.